But first, our next guest is one of the world's best-known businessmen. He was the chief executive of BP, 1995 to 2007, John Brown. But when he stepped away from his job, he said his major regret about his time at the helm at one of the top corporations in the world was that he didn't come out as a gay man. It actually took revelations in the British Fleet Street Press for John to emerge publicly as gay, but the subsequent realizations he made about himself and about the corporate culture in which he'd lived and thrived led him to write a book. It's called The Glass Closet. And John Brown, I'm very pleased to say, is with us now from his home in London. Welcome to RN Breakfast.
Thank you very much.
When your sexuality was about to be blasted across the tabloids in 2007, you felt compelled to step down from your job as CEO of BP. Why?
Absolutely. Well, for one principal reason, and that was that had I stayed on, I think I would have, people would have gnawed away at me to get me out. But to protect my privacy, which I'd done for 50 years, I suppose, I told a lie to my lawyers, which appeared in a court paper, which I reversed very quickly. But in trying to get an injunction to stop this former boyfriend of mine selling the tabloid publishing the story he sold to them. So I decided it was time to go. And that was the cleanest and, in my view, the absolutely right thing to do.
And this can be the pernicious byproduct of homophobia, can't it? That a person who does nothing wrong at the outset can be led to do terrible things because of it.
Absolutely. And that's right. Because certainly from my own experience, one of the reasons I wrote this book is I would never want anyone to go through the same experience, which is living two different lives, and eventually those lives come together in an explosive way. And if you lived in one life, that wouldn't happen.
And in order to live a single life, as you suggest, one must come out. And the process of coming out is uniquely individual in terms of the family, in terms of the friendships, in terms of the workplace. Yet for you, it was excruciatingly public. That must have been an extraordinary trauma for you.
It was, and I had to keep it, and from the date of which I heard about the press story to the time of which I could, it all came out, was about 4 months, where I wasn't, because of the legal processes, I couldn't speak to anyone, do anything, I had to carry on as if nothing was happening, and the day it came out, I resigned. But for everybody, it's a different process. To me, the most important thing is, because I do think business is still pretty conservative in this area, is that leaders in business need to make it a great environment in which people can come out and come out safely. And that's about having the right tone from the very top of companies, CEOs, not HR people, but CEOs, saying and believing that this is the right thing to do. And then having role models, too, around the place where you can say, you know, these people did it pretty well. And that's what one of the reasons I, again, wrote this book, to tell stories of other people who'd had a different way of coming out and they had different experiences which people could perhaps identify with.
We know that in large corporations at the middle level, at the lower level, there's lots of workers, men and women, who are out as gays and lesbians to their peers and so forth. What's it like at the very top, at the elite, at the boardroom and the executive level?
Well, the best thing to say is this, that of the 500 CEOs of companies in the US S&P 500, there isn't one out gay CEO. That's very difficult to believe as a representative sample.
What about the argument then that those CEOs who may happen in their private life to be lesbian or gay don't feel the need, or indeed certainly not the obligation, to share their private lives with others?
Well, I don't. I think that when I look back and look at myself, and I would like to make up for lost time here, it seems to me that if you're in a leadership role, you need to set an example. And I think being authentic about yourself in the workplace and being a role model for others is really very important indeed, because it then allows people to be themselves at work. I think there's not only a right value-based judgment to say that's the right thing to do, But there's also economics behind it. I think people who are more themselves at work perform better and much more productive and much more innovative.
So if there is a gay or a lesbian head of a large company listening at the moment, your advice is to come out, but going through the head of that individual might be all the terrible things that may come from it. You're not in a position to guarantee that nothing bad will come.
I'm not, but I'm hopeful that as time has gone by, the things that happen to me won't happen to them, especially if they're straightforward and authentic about doing the right thing. I do think that's very important. It's CEOs, it's people at the top, the so-called C-suites of companies. They're the people who really do set the tone, set the example, and maybe can change this view that the view which so many people I've spoken to, again for this book, feel that business is a very conservative place. It's different from the media, different from even the law, for example, but probably a bit better than sport, I may say.
Interesting. What about the fact that the people at the tops of companies tend to be older people, and older generations of gays and lesbians grew up in a time that bears no resemblance to today? It's impossible to leave that past, forget that history, and it lives with you. So what about the argument maybe this is a change that can be, you know, taken by future generations, not today's? I mean, it was illegal when you were growing up.
Oh, sure, but old is a relative word. I mean, I don't think all CEOs are my age. You know, I'm over 65, 66 now. So, you know, you get to be CEO, you get to be in the C-suite in your late 40s, 50s, and that's a considerable generational gap. So things have changed a lot. When I grew up, of course, doing anything, homosexual was illegal and could end you in jail. I also had a mother who was a survivor from Auschwitz, and her view of protection was never tell anyone a secret that they could use against you. And this was one of those secrets. So I was brought up believing that keeping things secret was the only way to survive.
Well, if a person is a CEO or has a leadership role and they have a family who feels that way for whatever reason, they can hardly come out to their staff, their company, their boards of directors, but not their family.
That's true. Now, you have to be consistent across the board, as we've already said, I mean, every situation is different. There's no unique recipe, but my view here is if in doubt, come out. There may be circumstances that make it impossible. I hope they're very, very few, and I hope that this is something that will begin to change. To my mind, it's really important that we continue to push along this area, because being LGBT is to be a member of a minority, and minorities are often not treated well when things don't go well generally in the world. And acceptance of minorities does have a habit of moving backwards as well as forwards.
May I turn to resource issues? I mean, as a head of BP, yeah, you work in a private equity group now, chair of a fracking company, which is obviously, as we're all aware, a controversial practice here in Australia, the UK, the US. Skepticism remains about the safety. What do you say to those people who are concerned about the long-term damage to water stores and so forth?
Well, I believe that good examples exist of where fracking can be done safely, with minimal impact on the environment, and actually with no impact on water. It depends on whether you are fracking in an area where there actually is an aquifer, a water table, and what you do about the water when you've used it for fracking. I think all these things very much are things that can be fixed, can be done in a very safe way. And I'm one to say that we need good regulation to cover that so that there aren't people who do it badly.
Would I be drawing too long a bow if I painted a picture such as this? The world slowly but surely is coming to a paradigm shift in its awareness of sexuality and the nature of and the place of gays and lesbians in society. And that we may also be coming to a paradigm shift in the way we view the environment. And the resources sector has perhaps not realised that paradigm shift is upon us. Too long a bow to draw?
No, I mean, I think I've been, since the mid-90s, been very much in the area that we do have to change the way in which we think about resources, in particular energy. And I think I was the first CEO of a major oil company to talk about doing something to prevent the potential damage coming from climate change. And we had to think about what we were doing. And I did that in the late 90s. I'm a great believer in pushing the envelope to see whether we can develop more and more cost-effective renewable energies. We can use more gas rather than coal because it's better for the environment. So all these things are progress. There isn't a switch you turn off and on and say, one side of the switch, use hydrocarbons, the other side of the switch, don't use hydrocarbons. I think, you know, you want to draw your long bow, I'll use the same analogy. There is no switch where you suddenly says everybody is going to be completely closeted, and on the other side, everyone's completely open.
We can all be in the same
transition. It's a transition.
And we will end up in the archery team. John Brown, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And John Brown was speaking from his home in London. Baron Brown of Mattingley, RN Breakfast.